Good morning. There we go. It's been a while, hasn't it? I was here about, was it a year ago or so? Some of you probably don't remember. I was here once. So it's nice to be welcomed back. As I was standing there in worship, a phrase came to me. God is real. Do you believe that? God is real. If God is real, shouldn't that make a difference? Shouldn't that make a difference in my life? Perhaps it'll make a difference in terms of when I come here on Sunday. What it looks like to worship God. Would it make a difference in terms of my behavior? How I act? How I speak? What I do with my time and what I do with my resources? God is real. I believe that. So when I come to church on a Sunday, I get excited. When we sing songs, I'm like, God, I'm singing to you. I am worshiping you. I am honoring you. That knowing that God is real makes a difference in how I think and how I act and how I behave. Now, I know God is real. But I can't make that decision for you. I hope you reflect on that. I understand. It may take some time before you come to the full realization that there is a God out there. And perhaps God is the one who needs to show that to you. I can encourage you today with scripture, with God's words, a few stories. I can encourage you today. But you will be the one who needs to say at the end of the day, do I believe that God is real? And is that going to make any difference at all? Sometimes it's hard to believe that God is real because of our circumstances. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Some struggle in your life, a problem, a challenge. Maybe it's health, finances. Maybe it's a relationship. And it's hard to see, God, where are you? Like, I thought you were real, and I come to church every week. I learn about you. I pray, God, are you there? And I pray that God would show up. Like the song that we sang a while ago, the fourth man in the fire. You know the reference for that? That's in the book of Daniel. You've got Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego being thrown into the fire because they believed in God. And all of a sudden, there's like that fourth person in that burning flame saving them, protecting them. They came out of the furnace completely alive. Perhaps God needs to show up in your troubles, and you need to recognize that. You need to pray about that. Or perhaps, and I find this to be a little bit more the case here in North America, it's not that we have a lot of trouble and we're having a hard time seeing God there, but perhaps it's life's so easy and convenient. So comfortable. In fact, don't we try our very best as human beings and as people with some money? Don't we try our very best to make life as comfortable and as convenient and as easy as possible? And sometimes when we do that, when that becomes our goal, that becomes our aim, now, it's also easy to forget God. is there. That God exists. It's so easy. It's like a person who wants to be stronger physically, but chooses the easy way. I'm just going to sit down and do nothing. You're not going to grow those muscles. You're not going to grow that endurance. You're not going to grow that strength by pursuing comfort and convenience. No, that the person who becomes strong in the end physically is the one who works out, goes to the gym, does the run, works out. I think there's some truth to that in the spiritual world as well. That the person whose faith grows, who knows God deeply, is the person who is challenged, maybe because their circumstances challenge them, but is also the person who maybe has the opportunity to live a comfortable and convenient life, but chooses instead, how do I serve God? And as I am serving God and pursuing God deeply, my faith is being challenged. And as your faith is being challenged, those spiritual muscles, they grow. And so I wonder about our story today that we just read. There was something there for the disciples to learn, for sure. There's a lesson. And after this story, this encounter with the storm, I am so willing to bet their spiritual muscles were strengthened when they encountered a situation that they just couldn't handle anymore. And all they had left was Jesus. So let's take a look at this passage together and grow our own spiritual muscles. Then he got into the boat. He's talking about Jesus. And his disciples followed him. I want to point out just a simple way of life. This is how simple the Christian, if you want to call it that, the believing life is. Jesus leads, we follow. Simple as that. You want to live that kind of life? That takes work to get to that place, but it's simple. Jesus, and if I believe Jesus is real, Jesus has a goal in mind. Jesus has a mission. Jesus has a desire. Right? Jesus is not an inanimate object. We have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is real. There's certain things that Jesus wants to do in our world today. There are certain things that Jesus wants to do in your life. And we simply follow. Okay, Jesus. What do you have for today? What do you have for this week? What do you have for this moment? You're God. I'm not. Well, can you lead my life? Can you take me where you want me to be, who you want me to meet, what you want me to say, what you want me to do, how you want me to serve? Jesus, you lead. Is Jesus leading you, or are you leading yourself? It's a question for you. I can't answer that question for you. But oftentimes, I know, because I've done it myself, I lead myself. Often away from what Jesus wants me to do. Jesus, you lead. And here we find Jesus leading God into the boat. I want to go into the boat. And his disciples, simple, that's what it means to be a disciple. His disciples followed him. That's all. It's like that song, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You believe in that? You're going to be happy in the end if you trust and obey Jesus? Well, you will be happy in the end. I believe that, especially because we believe in an eternal life that Jesus already paid on the cross for us. We'll be happy in the end. But as you're going to see in this passage here, temporarily, at least, the disciples were not happy to be following Jesus. Because Jesus leads them somewhere that they didn't expect. Jesus was the one who led them into this boat. It was calm at first, but eventually, as it says here, suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake so that the wave swept over the boat. All of a sudden, as they're being led by Jesus, they go into the boat. Jesus, it says here, went to go to sleep. And all of a sudden, a storm. Probably the biggest storm that any of these disciples have ever seen in their lives arrives. Who led them? Jesus. You know, if you read through Scripture, oftentimes, God leads people to places that are not safe. We want safety, we want comfort, we want convenience. That's the American dream, or the Canadian dream, because we're in Canada. We want that. But if you're following Jesus, you're following God, if you read through Scripture, oftentimes he leads people to places that are not safe at all. Pick any Bible hero, any Bible story, and you'll find difficulty and challenge. David, tiny, scrawny guy up against Goliath, that was not safe. Moses against Pharaoh, King of Egypt, it's not a safe place. Every hero in the Bible, every person that we look up to in Scripture as examples of faith, Paul, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who I just said a while ago, Joseph, who ended up in prison, accused for something he didn't do, ended up a slave. Years, decades, by the way. Every person in Scripture, I can't even name a single person in Scripture who this didn't happen. As they were following God, encountered a trial or struggle that often went on for years. Jesus leads, we follow. Sometimes where we follow, where Jesus leads, ends up in a place that's not safe. It's hard. struggles. We resist that. Try our best. That's why at the beginning of this message I said, is God real? Sometimes we try our best to get out of that. Try our best not to follow God in the way that he wants us to. So this extreme storm appears. Now, some of these are fishermen, right? These disciples. Some of these people are fishermen. They've been on the water before. They've been on the water their whole lives. Maybe they've even seen a storm before. But I'm willing to bet they've never seen a storm this big. So much so, they thought that they were going to die. That's what they say to Jesus later. This storm was so massive, it tells us, it gives us a little bit of a description. A furious storm, so that the waves swept over the boat. Have you been on a boat where waves were starting to come onto the boat, drenching you, soaking you with water? No, I've never been on one. And neither have you, probably. Because our boats these days and our captains try to make everything safe. Right? They're not going to go on the water knowing that something's going to happen. But this boat was being swamped by waves. You gotta imagine the scene with me, okay? Right? You ever been out in the rain, soaking wet? Right? Imagine that, times 10, because that's just coming onto the boat, one wave after another, one wave after another. The boat is shaking like crazy. And they knew at some point in time, oh boy, we're in trouble here. We're in a lot of trouble. When the boat starts to take on water, when they're drenched wet, we're in trouble here. You can bet these fishermen, these people who have been in the water before, you can bet they'll do anything to save their lives at that point. Anything that is practical, they're going to do. Hey, John, grab the wheel. Like, hold the boat steady. Peter, what are you doing looking out there? Grab the anchor. Andrew, go help him. Drop the anchor. Matthew, don't just stand there looking there. I know you were a tax collector and you don't know much about boats. Jettison the cargo. Lighten the ship. Imagine the shouting going on there. The panic. The franticness. Why? Because their lives are in danger. When your life becomes in danger, and hopefully that never becomes the case again. But when you're at that point, you're like, what can I do to rescue myself? You can bet these guys would have done everything they could to save themselves. Do you know what? They did it. They did everything. It was still not enough. Did everything practical. They did everything right, probably. Whatever they could do, put down the anchor, steady the ship, throw the cargo off the boat. They did everything. But the waves, the wind, the water just keeps on coming. keeps on coming. The disciples were brought to an extreme. It's a very extreme situation. When you're in a situation where you're going to die the next moment, that was really extreme. And I can imagine Peter at the edge of the boat that's just rocking like crazy. We're going to die today. We're going to die. And then they remember. Wait. Where's Jesus? Let's go get Jesus. Let's get Jesus. So they rush. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." In other translations, I don't know which translation this is, but the one I have here, "We're going to perish," is what they say. "We're going to die." They come looking for Jesus, as if Jesus can do something. I don't know. Maybe they've seen enough to believe or not. They're like, we've got one hope left. Let's go get Jesus. They rush to go and get Jesus. "Master, the boat's taken on water. We've done everything we can." I don't know if they're asking, but "Lord," do they know what they're asking Jesus for? "Lord, save us." Yeah, remember, at the end of the story, they're bewildered by Jesus' power. When they say this, they have no, I don't know if they have any clue as to what they mean. "Save us." How? But they go to Jesus anyway, not knowing how he's going to do it, not knowing how much power he has, because they've not witnessed it all. "Save us. We're going to drown." And Jesus replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid? You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" I find this to be the funniest part of the story. I know it doesn't seem that funny right now. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" The disciples come up to Jesus. "Jesus, save us. We're about to perish. We're about to die." Look at Jesus' response. "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Now, imagine this scene with me. You think, oh, Jesus calmly stands up. And he says, "Why are you so afraid? You have little faith." But you got to remember, what's happening? It's a big storm in a tiny boat. It's more like everybody's moving that way. "Whoa, Jesus, save us. We're perishing." Imagine Jesus. "Well, why are you? You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Jesus as well. On the boat, rocking back and forth, biggest wave, biggest storm that they've ever seen in their lives. "Why are you so afraid?" Jesus, you have, do you not see what's happening around here? Why are you so afraid? Jesus, our boat is sinking. We're fishermen. We know about boats. We're going to die. And you have the audacity to say, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Isn't it obvious why we're afraid? But what I like about this story is that all this time in the boat, during the storm, when they were trying to do everything they could to stabilize this ship, and when they failed, Jesus was with them all along. He didn't abandon them. He didn't leave them to their fate. He was there with them all along in the midst of this trouble and trial that they could not control. Jesus wasn't a distant person out on the shore looking at that boat. Oh, they're in trouble, aren't they? He was with them all along. And when they were in trouble, when they were dismayed and fearful, he didn't abandon them. We know later on that Jesus can walk on water. He could have just left. He doesn't. Jesus, I don't think, is so much rebuking them for their lack of faith, but more so an opportunity to teach them, because this was new territory for them. God is patient and loving with us as we learn these little lessons. Well, this one, a big lesson on faith. He leads them, and he leads them to an extreme situation where they're going to die, because in extreme situations, these situations that we try to avoid, we try to live a comfortable, convenient life, but in these extreme situations, that is also where you will grow extreme faith. So Jesus saying these words, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? It is a call to them, an encouragement to them. One that they will not only take now, but into the future. That when a storm like this hits again, will you have faith? Right now, you're experiencing this extreme circumstance. It's going to grow your extreme faith as well. I don't know what you're going through in life. Maybe for some of us here, we're going through a really tough time. And the people around us, they may not know it. We won't share it. That's okay. I'm not telling you you got to share it with anybody. Keep it to yourself and God. If you're going through a tough time, I wonder if these words from Jesus make sense. Why are you so afraid? Oh, you of little faith. The actual response then that Jesus was hoping from the disciples was this: trust, do do not be afraid. I know it seems dangerous and hard, but trust and do not be afraid. Did you know that the most repeated instruction in the Bible, cover to cover, over 360 verses, the most repeated instruction in the Bible is fear not, or do not be afraid? God had to remind his people time and time again. Because when we look at the wind and the waves and how big those are, we get afraid. Now, for some of us here today, you may not be going through a tough time. Maybe life's easy, simple, comfortable. But when that tough time comes, as they often do, you'll need to hear those words too. Oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Trust and do not be afraid. In the future, when you're following God and he takes you to a place that's not safe, it's not easy, you want to be prepared today for that encounter. That's why we read scripture. We pray. We worship God. Not necessarily because trouble is upon us here and now, but because possibly, more than likely, trouble will appear at some point in time. And if you haven't grown those spiritual muscles, when the day of adversity comes, you're going to faint. That's what it says in Proverbs. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's what the Proverbs says. If you faint in the day of adversity, and they may come, they will come probably. And if you faint, your strength is small. It's because you haven't grown those spiritual muscles all those years that you had the opportunity to grow those spiritual muscles. You didn't. The day comes and you're like, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. Well, when that day comes, remember Jesus is with you. And he'll say these words, why are you so afraid, you have little faith? And towards the end, then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They had no idea what they were asking Jesus of when they said, Lord Jesus, save us. And here's the thing with extreme situations. It grows us to have extreme faith. But it's also an opportunity now for God to provide an extreme miracle. One that only he can do. Does this make sense to anybody? The story? With just a word. Jesus calms the sea. Stops completely. Why? Is that the God we believe in? Is that the God who cares about us? Who sees our situation? Who loves us? Is that the God? God who, with a word, can calm the storm. Would you be willing to believe with me that God is a God who defies logic, defies physics, defies human understanding? What we read in Scripture is that God is a God of miracles. Friends, may I call you to follow Jesus to extreme places. Don't let Jesus as Lord just be words, but live out a life where you're really following Jesus. He will take you to places that are hard and you will struggle and that are not safe. But the promises of God is that He is with you, He will be with you, and that God's power will be present in those storms of life. It all starts with one step. Is God real? And are you going to follow Him? Trust and obey. Trust and obey. But there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus. But to trust and obey. Lord, would you grant us courage today to see you as God, but not a distant God, a God who is with us today through the days of good, but also through the days of struggle. And help us, Lord, to follow you not just on the surface level, but to follow you deeply. And when those storms of life come, to look above the winds and the waves and to believe that you are more powerful, that you are stronger, that you are more capable, that you are God who does miracles. Lord, help us to see it. Help us to believe it. Starting today, Lord, grow our spiritual muscles so that we will not faint in the day of adversity. Teach us this truth, O Lord, in the same way that you taught your disciples. All this we ask humbly, in the name of our Lord Jesus.